DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You know, anything can happen in a day in politics, never mind a week. And our Friday forum panel is joining us to discuss the political earthquake of Leo Varadkar's resignation and everything since. In the Ballygally Castle Hotel, Padraig Tobin, the leader of Aonthu, has joined me. And back in studio in Dublin, Fine Gael, Senator for Dublin West, Emer Curry, and Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with independent.ie. Good morning and welcome one and all. We'll go to you, Fionnán, first, just to give us an update. I mean, this is not quite yet a coronation, but is it looking that way?
I know it is a coronation. There's nobody else running unless Emer wants to declare here in front of us. it ain't happening. Everybody pulled out yesterday. It was all over effectively, you know, by, you know, not even yesterday morning, by Wednesday night. Once the plaudits, the accolades and the tributes towards Leo Varadkar were out of the way, the plan was put into place, and the schedule of people rolling out the following day was known from the night before, in terms of junior ministers Neil Richmond and Peter Burke coming out first, followed by Francis Fitzgerald, and then others would flow from there. And then
your information, Fionnán, was all of this choreographed? I mean,
yeah, no. I mean, we knew from
ducks in a row.
We knew from the night before exactly what, and obviously Simon Harris was taken by surprise as much as anybody else by this announcement by Leo Varadkar. He had no indication, but you know he's had his plan in place for quite some time, in terms of everybody knew he was going for it whenever the vacancy would arise, and by Wednesday evening, around about 20. TD senators, MEPs had indicated that they would be supporting him, and from there then it was just a matter of rolling it out. You'd kind of dominance of the airwaves. Every national and local radio station around the country had somebody on over the course of 3 hours pledging allegiance to Simon Harris. And given,
in other words, give us a job.
Yeah,
in your cabinet.
Kate O'Connell spoke 7 years ago famously about the choir boys singing for their supper. There was a lot of choir boys out yesterday, you'd have to say, in that regard. Somebody said to me last night, the bus was going, get on the bus, and people were worried about getting left behind. I mean, you did have on News Talk yesterday, with Andrea, you had Helen McEntee pledging full loyalty to Simon Harris and what a great guy he was, when only half an hour earlier she'd said she wasn't really sure who she'd be backing. So that's how fast things were moving yesterday. You also had a couple of people who on Wednesday night were saying they would be supporting Pascal Donoghue, and by Thursday morning they were saying Simon Harris was their man. So that's the way, that's politics. Mm.
All right. Can you parse, besides everyone maybe being outmaneuvered by Simon Harris, if he had those ducks in a row and then was able to pull the starting gun or fire the starting gun and say, OK, fans numbers 1, 2 and 3, you go in the 8 o'clock bulletin. Fan number 4, you go at the 10. You do News Talk, you do RT, da, da, da. I mean, was it that choreographed, or was it a spontaneous show of love and admiration?
A mixture. I mean, some of it was quite clearly choreographed. And look, taken from the book, you can go back to 2017 with Leo Varadkar and Owen Murphy was his sidekick at the time. They had a similar plan in place at that time. Go back to 2010 and the heave against Enda Kenny. And there was a similar element of we need to get people out quite rapidly, declaring their intentions to show cause. And you can probably go back to 1994 and John Bruton 6 months before he became Taoiseach. And, you know, a similar thing. You there's no point in people sitting on the fence and waiting and yeah. All this stuff about we need due consideration and find out who the candidates are, and we need to show respect to the party organisation. This is politics. You need to know as soon as a name is out there.
Okay, and it is very much the king is dead. Long live the king. Pather.
Yeah, I think it's very unedifying at times when you see people scrambling around the greasy pole in terms of trying to position themselves beside the new king for their own purposes. I think it's even interesting from a Fianna Fáil background, because Fianna Fáil said they look forward to working with Simon Harris and have been, you know, issuing plaudits in relation to it. Yet, just at the end of the last government, it was Fianna Fáil calling for his resignation because of his poor handling of the health service. And while the one horse race is obviously interesting politically, there's no doubt about it, I'm amazed by nobody in Fine Gael saying, well, I support Simon Harris because of the political direction he wants to bring the country. Everybody's talked about his ability to communicate, but nobody's telling us where is he going to bring build the country. Now, the referendums have shown that there's a big detachment from that kind of political elites within Fine Gael and the rest of the country in many ways. And, you know, I think that's one of the big frames of the next election, that we have, you know, a political party, especially in Fine Gael, that are very South Dublin-based in many ways. And I think Simon Harris is part of that whole kind of South Dublin politics that's not listening to the rest of the country on a range of different issues. Fine Gael don't have TDs and the likes of Roscommon and Tipperary. And, you know, unless there's an actual change in direction from Simon Harris politically, you know, I can see Fine Gael retreat further into the urban heartlands now, their centre of gravity now, instead of actually reaching
out. And one of those in the urban heartland from Dublin West is Eimear Curry. So your party is too Dublin-centric, if not totally by number, certainly by attitude.
I don't agree with that, Pat, at all. And I think I'm a Dublin candidate. I'm originally from Tyrone. I think I have an all-Ireland perspective on things. I think Patter would even agree with that. So I think over the last week, we have had a very transparent process in terms of, you know, the public has found out about things the same time as the party. I don't believe that Wednesday night everything was a fait accompli. Yes, Simon Harris certainly had a lot of support and was the one to beat. But at the same time, things have unfolded very transparently over the last 36 hours, and we're all catching up on it. We're all very excited about the future. I think Simon Harris brings something new to the table, and Patter is being critical.
So what is that? Patter is asking, what is Simon Harris bringing to the table that he hasn't been saying around the cabinet table for the last 4 years?
Well, I think we have to give him the opportunity himself to set out his stall. But I know from speaking to him and from working with him, like, I'm very impressed with him on things that I've engaged on him with. You know, when it comes to, for instance, further and higher education on an all-Ireland basis, he has taken very good steps in relation to opening up more opportunities for Northern students in the South. He has really embraced a very practical approach to...
But he was already doing that as part of the government. I mean, that's not, you know, something that he's going to reveal to you all in the party, to his cabinet colleagues in government and to the public in time. I mean, is going to change in the fundamental direction of Fine Gael?
My point is that he's very pragmatic, he's very practical, he's very good on policy, and he's a very good communicator. And I think he has a lot of commitment to areas like disability and additional needs in terms of inclusive education. I think that will...
And this,
that
I know, is based on his own experience within his family. He has a deep understanding of that. Pather?
Yeah, so in 2017, Simon Harris promised that there would be no child seeking a scoliosis operation in this country and waiting for longer than 4 months. We in Aintu put in a parliamentary question recently, and we found out that there's 55 children just in Temple Street and Crumlin who are waiting for longer than 1 year still. So, you know, also around the COVID crisis, Simon Harris, again, like probably the master of publicity, created this Beyond Call for Ireland, where 75,000 people signed up to be on the team to work in the health service to protect Irish people. In that time, 330 people out of the 75,000 people were actually employed. You know, Eimear mentions pragmatic. Yes, he is pragmatic. He's a flip-flopper par excellence. You know, he has taken mutually exclusive positions on very big things, you know, in a very short period of time. And, you know, maybe that's, you know, he'll put the finger in the air to find out which way the wind is blowing again and go that direction in future. But, you know, I am hearing nothing from Fine Gael, which is telling us that they're going to change their neoliberal direction. which is dressed up in progressive clothes, I admit, at the moment, but which is actually doing phenomenal damage in terms of housing, healthcare, education, and the cost of living crisis currently. So, for example, we put in a parliamentary question just this week, and the government have made more in fuel taxes just in the last year than they ever did before. Now, the fact that they're taking more money out of people's pockets in fuel taxes in the teeth of a cost of living crisis that's the worst in a generation shows that neoliberal instinct that is at the heart of Fine Gael. And, you know, maybe Simon Harris can soften that in its publicity engagement, but I have no confidence that he's actually going to really change people's lives around the country.
I want to go back to something now that I heard on our news headlines. Leo Varadkar was speaking in Brussels on the second day of the European Council meeting because he seemed to be addressing maybe conspiracy theories that are out there about his sudden departure. And I'll play this and then maybe Fionnuala can give us your take on it. But have a listen to the Taoiseach in Brussels.
I understand the need for conspiracy theories and for speculation, but that's simply not the case. That's not to say that somebody isn't going to throw some allegation at me tomorrow, next week, or in a few months' time that I'm not aware of now. That will probably be a load of rubbish like most of them are, that people will then turn around and say, aha, that was the real reason.
So, Fionnuala, extraordinary even to bother addressing conspiracy theories.
Yeah, he referenced this in his speech the other day. He referred to political and personal reasons, and he said that some people will be inferring certain things. So I don't obviously need to fuel the speculation by denying stuff that's kind of just intangibles out there. Yeah, people are asking, look, why is he standing down? Is there some major political reason? Is there some major personal reason? No, not that we know of. The man has presented his pitch and said he thinks that somebody else can do a better job, that he's been in it for a while and that he's tired after 13 years as the cabinet minister. So unless somebody else has got some smoking gun out there that we don't know of, I'm afraid I'm none the wiser.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Yeah, listen, the manner in which he resigned is incredible. Okay, there's no doubt about it. If you were to run any type of organization, you would want some forward planning. And the fact that the person who's the highest paid politician in the country was not able to commit to a 30-month term is incredible. You know, the fact that other ministers did not know what was happening from one day to the next is an example how not to run a country, in my view. But listen, my attitude is that on a personal basis, that position is a phenomenally arduous task. You know, it is 18, 20-hour days on a regular basis. And I can understand how the pressure would be difficult on people.
I thought there was an interesting stat that he adverted to yesterday, which was when he first went to the Council of Prime Ministers, there were 30 people there, only 6 of them remain.
Yeah,
in a period of 7 years. So there is ebb and flow all the time in terms of leaderships of governments and so on. And of course, Britain left the EU in the meantime. So that was one down anyway. A question here, I don't know if anyone can answer it. Are there going to be 3 full Taoiseach's pensions to be paid out of one governmental period of 5 years?
So you've got to be in the job for 2 years, I think, to get a full Taoiseach's pension. But I mean, there'll be contributions very definitely to Simon Harris's ministerial pension and to Leo Varadkar's ministerial pension and Micheál Martin's ministerial pension. So it all adds up. I mean, Micheál was there for 15 odd years under the previous administration and will now have another 5 on top of that. And Leo has been there 13 years at cabinet level, and Simon Harris has been there 10 at this stage. So,
but it's not quite the Liz Truss scandal.
No, it's not.
6
it's not
weeks
quite
or whatever
level,
in the job, but, you know, and you have a bodyguard and a pension for life.
Increments are out. Well, there are certain privileges and entitlements that will attach. I mean, ultimately, Simon Harris will forever be a member of the Council of State because he'd be a former Taoiseach. He's not there yet, but he will in 2 weeks' time. And then ultimately, if there are state occasions, he will be invited to them. He'll be entitled to certain privileges there. There'll be some security arrangements now around Leo Varadkar when he stands down and so on. So there is a cooling off period there, as well.
All right.
When I was campaigning in the referendum, one of the things at the doors that came out was the detachment of the political bubble from the people. And I do think, while it's technically feasible for sure, for the Taoiseach's position to be handed around numerous times, I do think that it is not liked by people, that people see it is the current system of handing it around, like you snuff at a wake to a certain extent, you know, is a detachment from the democratic mandate that should have that direct link with the position of Taoiseach.
But don't we have it, for example, in the European Parliament? If somebody decides to run in the national elections who's an MEP, their nominee, the party's nominee, just gets the seat. And you might not like them at all. Even if you voted for X, you end up with Y.
I think if people are upfront in terms of declaring that that's going to be the system, people are voting with that understanding. But I don't think anybody went to the polls in 2020 expecting there would be at least three Taoiseach in that position. And I do think, you know, there is a moral and democratic obligation on the government to go back and test their mandate with the people. I don't think they will. I think it's interesting that...
Well, haven't they got tests of their mandate in the council elections and the European elections, which are looming? Eimear?
I'm just not sure Patter would be complaining about the same thing if Leo Varadkar was standing down in other circumstances. So I just think this is a little bit as in if there had been a heave or if there had been a vote of no confidence, or, you know, I just think he doesn't like that Leo has taken this decision himself to stand down, and he's questioning his reasons. But his reasons have been very honest, and he was showing more honesty today. And I think that's a very brave thing to do, and he should be taken at his word.
I'm wondering, to all of you, is the way Leo walked away without telling anybody, including Micheál Martin until the very last minute, and Simon Coveney, who's the deputy leader of Fine Gael, at the very last minute, maybe the night before, is that a good template for the way to go?
It's a template for instability. It's a template for chaos.
No, but I mean, you know how leaky Leinster House is. You know how leaky every cabinet is of whatever colour. You wouldn't be able to keep that secret for
And I think then we would have been accused of instability, creating instability. He's made a very brave decision. He's taken it for political and personal reasons. He didn't feel he was the person to do the job anymore. And he took that decision. He's done it very transparently and openly. And I admire him for it.
Can I ask a question, Pat?
Yeah, please.
Just after Patter's thesis there, he's running in the European elections in 3 months' time. If he gets elected, is he staying in the European Parliament for 5 years to fulfil the mandate that the people of Ireland, Midlands, North West will have given him?
Yes, so the very first press statement we put out in this, I said up front that I will be contesting the next general election in Meath West. So the reason that I'm running in the European elections is to crowbar bread and butter issues back into the...
Isn't it to get you to get a seat for Aintu in the European Parliament, which then you can hand over to somebody else and then come back and get your seat in the Dáil?
The truth is, Pat,
bingo.
I am a campaigning political activist. I have taken hard decisions before, not easy decisions before, because I believe that we need to get bread and butter issues back into the centre of the political spectrum. And I believe my participation in the European...
Hang on a second, Eimear. You are the public face of Aintu. It's very hard for people to think of other candidates. So you get yourself elected, maybe handily, and then you pass it on to someone that no one's ever heard of in the European Parliament, giving you a presence there. It's almost as if you are granting yourself the gift of bilocation through your nominee.
Well, listen, I would love the gift of bilocation, but I have said up front, the very first statement that we put out is I am contesting this European election to get the bread and butter issues back onto the table. Issues like the cost of living crisis, the housing issues, you know, the regional, the spatial development problems that are happening. The country is developing into a city state at the moment. And I said at the start that I would be contesting the next general election.
I know Fionnán wants to come back, and also Eimear first.
Fine. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Leo Varadkar has shown enormous integrity. He stood up and said he doesn't believe that he's the man for the job, and has made a very difficult decision to step away. It's not a mockery of democracy, it's respect for democracy.
It's a defensive position from Fine Gael. I think they've seen the writing on the wall, and I think they're quite shocked at the results of the referendum. They see the local and Europeans coming. They see a leader who has pretty much lost every election that he's fought, except in the European elections. And they know that there's going to be collateral damage to councillors and MEPs in the next local election, and they're going to do their best to turn around
Matter,
this.
It wasn't
the way I introduced my thesis on this from the start is, if this is a real political debate, it should be actually prefaced with regards to the direction that the country is going. We know nothing about any change that Simon Harris is going to bring in. And in actual fact, it looks like, given the fact that he has been invested in that cabinet for so long, that he's going to be the continuity Fine Gael candidate. And if that's so, there's no doubt in my mind that the political success of Fine Gael is going to be going in the same trajectory.
Fionnán?
Look, a Dáil has a 5-year mandate from the people. Within that time, there are changes of government. You could have a complete change of government. And earlier in the life cycle of this particular coalition, there were question marks, we'll all recall, over Micheál Martin. He had a fairly calamitous opening 3 months where he lost two ministers for agriculture, and there were rows with other people about not getting jobs, so he could have been toppled. Then Eamon Ryan came within a 40-vote swing of not actually leading his party into government when they had agreed to go into coalition. So, I mean, leaders change, and we can't have a general election every time a leader changes at the top of an organisation.
The prospect of a general election, which I know Pather was calling for and other members of the opposition, and it wasn't entirely ruled out, Eamor, by Simon Harris.
Yeah, well, we have a local and European election in a matter of months. Hopefully we're going to have a new leader in a couple of days, and we'll have a new Taoiseach in a couple of weeks. And he has been open about it, that he's not ruling anything out, and that's his prerogative.
All right. Fionnán, what do you expect from Simon Harris? You've known him over the years in various ministries and as, you know, a fairly astute local operator as well in his own constituency.
Yeah, so look, I mean, he does bring that whole energy vibe and so on, good communicator. What we really are none the wiser of is what is his overarching vision. I don't know what his position is on Northern Ireland, United Ireland question, European affairs and so on. So we will learn all of that fairly fast. It's fairly,
I think,
simple.
The Ardèche speech is probably the all will be revealed.
He'll set out his stall there. He has got a short window of time to show that he is making an impact. He'll probably get a bye on the local and European elections, whatever happens there. If it's slightly better than the polls are looking at the moment, then he gets credit for it. If it's no better, then people say, well, look, he's only just in the job. His focus has to be on the next
final
election.
Words to you, Pather, as we come to a close at Ballygally Castle Hotel.
Yeah, I think Simon Harris said today that the date of the next election wasn't his first priority. And I think that's the first fib of the presumptive Taoiseach, to be honest, at this stage, because that is exactly his first priority in terms of this.
Is fib parliamentary language?
Well,
or not?
I've toned it down because I want to be a little bit fair on him. But I do think that there is a section of Irish society who are in serious crisis in terms of the 13,700 people who are in homelessness at the moment, the 1,000 people who are in tents currently, and the 5,000 people who can't leave direct provision because there's no homes. And unless they get real about this, all of the deck chairs being moved around the Titanic is not going to make a difference.
Your joint campaigns for European Parliament and for the Dáil are well underway. Pather Tobin, who's the leader of Aintu, thank you very much for joining us here in County Antrim. Eamor Curry, Fine Gael Senator for Dublin West, and Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of Independent.ie, thank you for joining us from Dublin. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts. You can listen to them on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.